You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. It is the 15th day of February. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line with us to look at the futures markets. Mike Zuzlow, he's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the day's trade and then what you made of the trade as you look back over the week.
Nice recovery day, but held in check and held back by the meal market. May meal, for instance, tried to go above 409.30 every hour after 10 o'clock, Todd. Every hour since 10 a.m., the high in the May meal 60-minute chart was 409.30. So you had a ceiling in the market. You could tell in the soybean and meal complex the soybeans had a ceiling, and that, you know, probably broadened into the overall grain complex. We did hold key support levels in the wheat, and we got above that 14 and a quarter level in the March beans. We stayed below the $7 level, though, in March corn. So we held the charts, but we're still down for the week. And I guess the best way to put it all in a broad brush is the charts live to fight another week, but you can't really stand up and say this is a major low, although I'd like to think it is, because of the investment demand and the commodity liquidation by the funds that we've seen really ever since September. I think we should be coming to a close in that realm, and maybe they start to look more again at the supply and demand fundamentals. You brought up ethanol RBOB. That was on my list. That 80 cents goes all the way back to April 2010 as far as that's the biggest discount that ethanol's had since April 2010. So fundamentals are coming around, but the trade has not really looked at the supply fundamentals, demand fundamentals, since probably October, in my opinion.
I want to come back to the RBOB and the ethanol spread in just a bit, but let's stay with the meal since you mentioned it. Why is it so important to you that it was not able to make it through that level and that you just simply say it's now a ceiling?
Well, the meal oil spread has been correcting ever since the highs were made in the soybeans, so that probably gives you the best visual picture of why meal is so important. The second thing goes back to the potential we heard this week that meal may be coming into the United States from South America, that they actually would be able to undercut our prices because our lack of supply availability to crush, realizing that the crush margins are running still anywhere from the upper 50s all the way up to 80 cents if you look at the August contract. So you've got very good crush margins, but the availability is so tight that the supplies in Brazil may be so burdensome, or Argentina may be so burdensome, that they physically undercut us price-wise and they bring meal up here. So to me, meal has pretty much all the cards in the hand that it needs to direct the trend in the soybeans going forward, especially as we prepare for this massive Brazilian bean crop that everybody's starting to really, you know, think about.
So you've said things like ceiling and massive Brazilian bean crop. Are you expecting much lower prices?
You know, what I put on my note sheet this morning was we've got a relief rally brewing. We've had a relief rally brewing because the supply-demand fundamentals for the feed grains have been looked upon or have not been looked upon at all, and in the beans, that's all they've looked at. And I feel like we're in, and we talked about this last Friday, I think we're in a transition state where the beans, instead of being the leader to the upside, have the potential to be the leader to the downside, especially if the meal market can't come around.
Now let's return to ethanol and the RBOB. Why is the ethanol plants, why have they decided now to come back in to production? Is it simply a matter that they have gotten rid of the glut of ethanol that was on the marketplace?
I think partially that may be a small percentage of it. I'd rather think that, and what I've been hearing and talking to colleagues about, has been more that the margins have allowed them to source corn. The price break in the corn's done two things. It's improved their margins, and it's probably also shaken loose some cash corn out in the Western Corn Belt in particular. And so that lower corn price has done two things, and it's worked in benefit of the ethanol refiners again and the crushers again. So I think that's probably the majority of the reason why they've come back and flipped the light switch back on. There may be some to what you're talking about, but I would guess that's maybe a smaller percentage.
Does it make very much difference to you that it was Valero that went to hot idle on the plants, only because it's it really is a crude oil production sort of facility as opposed to a company, that is, as opposed to some of the other plants like the ADMs of the world, maybe the Poets of the world that are big ethanol producers?
Well, I think that it may be actually a good sign, because one of the things I heard, one of my colleagues in Chicago went out to a Western Corn Belt convention a week or two ago, and they had several different ethanol people on the panels and speaking, and the takeaway he had was that the ethanol producers were kind of held captive by the big oil companies at this stage of the game as far as blending and utilizing the ethanol into the unleaded gas. And so maybe the fact that Valero is one of those that is also involved in the oil and the fossil fuels coming back online, maybe that gives you a brighter picture and a brighter outlook for the ADMs and the Poets. I saw the Decatur basis for corn jumped back up to around 35 cents this week, Todd, and that's about the highest we've seen it since the middle, beginning of September last year, August, somewhere around there. And I think you're starting to see a resurgence of trying to source corn, and I'm guessing it's coming from the ethanol base in the Corn Belt. So I'd like to think that maybe this is the trend beginning and the demand's coming back that, you know, we've talked about for probably 3 months now.
All well and good, but eventually things will turn to new crop. Are you as hopeful for new crop prices as you appear to be for old crop?
You know, actually, if you look at the global supply-demand instead of the U.S. supply-demand, you could be a lot more friendly, the new crop wheat and new crop corn, at the expense of new crop beans. And so, yes, I do think that the new crop potential, and I think also this last 2 weeks since the USDA report came out and the baseline numbers came out this week, I do think we've done a pretty serious job of taking out a lot of weather premium, and the weather models are starting to show a lot more rain and precip, liquid precip, for the Western Corn Belt here in the next 10 to 14 days. So I think that's also maybe worked into the new crop prices declining. Here again, I think the front end and the spreads weakening and the way the March and the May and the July wheat, corn, and beans have broken, I think that's more the investment demand in the commodities. But I think in the new crop, they've probably taken quite a bit of weather premium out that we may need to put back in here in about 30 days.
Can I ask you a livestock question
as
it relates to wheat substitution at summertime and corn? Would you be of a mind for your livestock producers to wait out potential feed wheat purchases this summer in the June-July timeframe when those are harvest months rather than corn for those needs?
No, I wouldn't, because I think we've lost touch in the trade that many of our hard red wheat producers are suggesting that 40-50% of their crop did not even germinate last fall, and so they won't even have a stand. So I don't think you're going to have much supply come harvest of wheat in that part of the country, Todd, and I think it's really important to keep that in mind when it comes to these ethanol producers coming back online, because you're probably going to have a window here of getting some DDGs at a better price because of supply availability. Take advantage of that.
All right, so book your DDGs needs.
Correct.
If you can get it from the ethanol plant, buy corn too?
Correct. Yeah, I think that this is where your April, May, June slots are going to be extremely tight. And I think here also, if you have had that aflatoxin time bomb building in your bins, those livestock guys are going to have to be really aware of that, because we don't talk about that much.
Right.
But if you didn't sell a lot and you've got aflatoxin, it's probably only gotten worse in those bins at this point.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the guys who own the crop now, and the end users will have to pay attention to it. But
yeah, I heard a story in Sherman this week where a livestock producer did not test, and he had just picked up some corn, and it really was a reminder to me that you got to test, because it's not gone away. It's probably gotten worse. So the livestock guys really got to be on it when it comes to when they get corn locked in, they're testing those bins.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. And don't forget that we'll record Commodity Week this afternoon. Steve Erdman will be our guest from EFG Group in Chicago, Illinois. We'll post that to our website by about 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time.